Our scripture reading is selected from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning with verse 24. And St. Paul writes by inspiration, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. In Olympic circles, he was known as the Heartbreak Kid. Dan Jansen from Wisconsin was an Olympic speed skater, and he, at a young age, while a teenager, set a junior world record and had great hopes for going into the Olympics, which he did. In 1984, in the Olympic Games, he came in fourth place. 4 years later, in 1988, thinking that he would be the highly favored one to win, according to all experts, he fell in two separate races, and many Americans groaned as they watched him slide on the ice. But he got back up again. In 1992, he came back once again for the Olympics, once again the hopeful to win, and again he fell twice in two races. And I'm sure one of the thoughts that ran through many people's minds watching that again was what was going through my mind. Think of all the time and the energy and the dedication and the money and the sacrifice. There were times he claimed that he skated for 6 hours a day getting ready for the Olympics, and yet just in a heartbeat, it was over. St. Paul uses the imagery of athletes in our text for today to describe a very important aspect of our spiritual life. He uses the imagery of the dedication of a runner in a race, or a boxer who beats his own body to get it into submission, ready for the fight. And he uses these to demonstrate to us the dedication that God would have us take toward the preservation of this precious faith that we have in Christ. The prize, or the trophy, if you will, that Paul is referring to, of course, is heaven, which has already been purchased and won for us. Paul isn't trying to use the imagery of a race as if somehow we're going to now earn heaven by what we do. Christ has taken care of that for every one of us here today, for everyone in the world, through his great sacrifice on the cross, atoning for all of our sins. The trophy of heaven has already been purchased and won for you. Faith is what possesses this, is what acquires it and grabs onto it. And he's now describing our life of faith in this world and the challenges of it as a race, that we must continue to run in this race of faith so that we hold on to this precious prize. There's a false theological concept that sometimes is thought of as a truism in American culture today because we hear it so frequently, and it goes very simply like this: once saved, always saved. There's some churches that boldly teach that. It is a non-biblical concept. It is not theologically correct. And we may know on a theological level how to intellectually attack and dismantle that false concept in teaching. But does that same false idea sometimes creep into our hearts as far as our own spiritual lives and how we actually look at things? Are we challenged sometimes to kind of fall into or lapse into a false sense of security about our relationship with Christ? It sounds kind of like this: well, I've had this faith in my life for years. I've had Christianity in my family for decades. My family has been so dedicated to the church. You should see how active my parents have been and the other members of my family. I've had formal Christian education. I've received degrees from Christian schools. I know the Bible backwards and forwards. Test me. I'm even in the ministry, or I'm planning to study for the ministry. I'm in church all the time. I am immune to losing this faith. Well, to him who thinks he stands, take heed lest you fall, the Lord tells us. Even St. Paul, Joe Christian, if you will, even St. Paul had to be given by God a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, permitted to torment him, to preserve him in his faith, and to get him from becoming so arrogant and boastful and proud. And don't forget, the devil himself is so boastful and arrogant that he's willing to even go after the Son of God. Don't think he isn't going to come after me or you. The warnings in Scripture are all over the place about retaining this faith and holding on to this faith, just like the one we have before us today. Think about Jesus' parable of the five foolish virgins who had the oil of faith in their lamp and yet let it run out. We think about the parable of the sower and the seed, how that third type of hearer becomes a plant boldly rooted into the ground and growing and so on, but slowly the cares and the pleasures of this world choke off that faith. And that's why St. Paul says to us, work out your election with much fear and trembling. We think of Jesus' chilling words, not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father in heaven. On Judgment Day, how many former Christian men will have lost their love of Christ because of stuff they find on the internet, and yet they're still in church every Sunday? How many former Christian women on Judgment Day will have lost their love of Christ because they were more attracted to finding earthly love in this world with the wrong man? How many former Christians will have lost the prize of heaven because of having a great and successful earthly career? How many former Christians on Judgment Day will no longer be found with Christ because they fell to the persuasive words of some new thinking or scholar or teacher? So where do I go to help me stay in this race so that I stay focused on the prize of heaven, so that I actually get it? What coaches do I enlist to work with me, to keep me in the race, and to keep me strong? Well, we know where you shouldn't go. Imagine an athlete going to the coach of his opponent who he's going to run against, who wants nothing but for him to fail. We shouldn't go running back to the devil and to the world and to our own sinful flesh as if somehow that's going to help us. They want us to fail. They want us to fall and to drop out of the race miserably. But we should seek help from those who want us to win, that want us to actually gain the prize and to have the trophy. Go to Christ, first of all, to his word and to his sacraments regularly. Go to his assistants who are in the public ministry, who are there to coach you and guide you and direct you in this race. Go to previous champions who already possess now the trophy in heaven and have left their writings for you in devotional works and commentaries. Go to the fellow members of the church who are in the race with you and who want to encourage you. And if you want an exercise that will help you stay in the race, find a way to go help others in the race. That often helps you as well. In 1994, Dan Jansen got back up again to the Olympics, and he finally won his gold medal in the last race of his life. And if you talk to him now and ask him now about it, he would say it was a lot of work, a lot of dedication, but it was all worth it. Let us remember that the prize that we chase in heaven is not some leaves that they put on your head the way they did in the Olympics in ancient times. It's not even the gold that you hang around your neck or even the great endorsements you can get like Michael Phelps, all of which is like this world's crown that's going to fade and fade away into nothing. But the prize and the trophy we have is everlasting life in heaven. Pure joy forever with the angels. St. Paul calls it an imperishable crown. And is that ever worth it? Our Lord says to you and me in this race, "Behold, I am coming soon. Let no one take your crown." Amen. Please rise. And we pray, O Lord, mercifully hear our prayer and stretch forth the right hand of your majesty to defend us from all that might rise up against us. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.